You sense God wanted to do something this morning? Amen. I do too. You know, we have been for a very long time, and this is a special service, but it's not one that is kind of a performance. It is really just a launching of what God has been speaking to our heart as a church for a very long time. And I'm excited about it. This morning, if you would have been here, you'd have saw me running around. I was on cloud nine even before we were starting. I sensed God's presence as they were working on a worship practice and all these different things. See, God is amazing, and it's in His timing. And for a long time, there was things that we wanted to start and do, but we couldn't do because we didn't have the right people. Or at the time we were a church in crisis and we were fighting to keep the lights on. All the different things that come in running a church. And God has begun to bring the right people. This young man at the altar here is heading up and with me with a Celebrate Recovery that we're starting. And I know his heart. I know what he's praying for. He's praying that on Thursday, when we begin this, that God does something amazing. And I believe he is going to. I trust that he's going to. And God has seemed to open up these doors. Like I said in the prayer, we have always been a church that loves people. We love people. But somehow that was not enough. And as we as a board we decide there's got to be more. This community is hurting. There's things going on. And so this morning, this special day really is a beginning of a launch of what is going to happen, and you're going to see, and some things you've seen, and some things in the next few months you're going to see that are going to be changes, and we really are going to do some overhauling of things that we used to do. We've taken better than a year to go over and take a hard look at what we do and why we do it. See, sometimes busy you're just busy. But we've taken a hard look at, okay, what are we doing? Why are we doing? What are the results? What are we expecting God to do? And we're looking at what we've done in the past to see if we're going to do it in the future. Some of the things we did were great. But when you're limited with money, when you're limited with people, when you're limited in time, you have to take a hard look and say, okay, what is God saying? We're all busy. What is he saying? Is it something that's going to come into the future? Or is it something that we're going to have to let God do at a later time? Something that we're going to have. So we've been saying for forever and giving you little tidbits, and this morning I want to give you a little more. I want to really share some of the things that have been going on and what you can expect to see in the next several months. You know, God created the church. Say amen to that. This wasn't our idea. This wasn't Nazarene. This wasn't Baptist. This wasn't anything except God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And he will make an impact. And the church was created to be a place where believers can come in and be discipled and be nurtured, and people of like-minded faith could get together, where you could trust somebody, where you can get involved in something that's bigger than you. And the church was designed to go out and make an impact in the community. Whether it's a church of 10 or whether it's a church of 3,000, the call is still the same. Go out and reach the people for Christ. And for a long time, the results can be discouraging. I've tried to talk to my neighbor, but they won't come. I've tried to do this and invited them to a potluck dinner and they didn't come. Well, I'm telling you this morning, Whatever you've done in the past is not what we're going to do in the future. We are going to ask them again. We are going to provide and create creative ways to show them that the church loves them and that Jesus Christ will make a difference in your life. Every one of us that sits here that knows Christ and Christ dwells within us knows that Christ makes a difference. All you have to do is show the people in the community that you're with every single day the difference that He makes in your life. And to show them that they don't have to live in that hopeless spot, but that Christ cares. Does that make us better than anybody else? No. Does that make us perfect and not have any problems? No. The community thinks maybe that you know, a believer just is doesn't go through the same things that they go through, but we have Christ, and we're trying to show them He will guide you. He will help you. He will lead you. And when you're down and out, we're going to get around you. And when we're down and out, we're hoping that you come around us and make this difference. God created this. It's very clear what the church should do and what the church should be. Society has created this church of entertainment. Now, I have nothing against a large church and all the things that they do. I think they do great things. They accomplish much. But society has decided that church should be entertainment. You get the best of the best to do the worship. You get the high dollar preachers. You get all these different things. And then you get selective. Well, they no longer play the songs that I like, so I'm going to move on. Well, that preacher had one dud, so I'm going to move on to another. And they've created this smorgasbord where you come and decide what you want. Now, you want a little of this, you want to be a little Baptist today, a little Nazarene here, and a little of this and a little of that. And created that if it doesn't all suit you, that you're going to move on. And I'm telling you, the church was created not to be somewhere you go. Now hear me. It's not somewhere you just go. It's somewhere where you belong. You're a part of the family of God. You begin to belong to that fellowship wherever you go. Nazarenes aren't no better than anybody else. This church can be home to some and not home to another. But everywhere that you lay your feet and set a foundation, when you find where God wants you to be, you begin to belong there. And you begin to make an impact there. And the church was created to be a place of discipleship. You can't do that by listening to some crazy preacher yell and spit at you for 30 minutes and then forget about God the rest of the week. To be discipled is to be determined that you want to know Christ more. Which means you got to read your Bible. Which means you got to listen to God's Word. Which means you need to fellowship with like-minded faith. You need to learn from the wisdom of somebody that's already been through what you're going through. And God helps you. And then the church is to be a lighthouse. And then it's to be one that is going out and making a difference. Whatever you've been through, God can use to help someone else. Whatever God has healed you from, He is grateful that He can do that, and you should be grateful that He's done it. But once He's done it, then you should be doing something to help someone else and make a difference. That's why we partnered with Bountiful Blessings in 2007. It was 2 years after I was here. We partnered with them because we were looking at something. How can we reach out to the community? We weren't in a spot to do it all ourselves, so we partnered with Bountiful Blessings. And over these last 11 years now, we've added to that. We've tried to do more. We've taken some of our resources and put it in. We tried to add Bible study. We tried to create an atmosphere that would invite people to come in. I used to always say it where I was before, there's no such thing as a van ministry where there's van people. There's Bountiful Blessing people. There's Celebrate Recovery people. There are those that were cured from cancer. There were those that were healed from bad marriages. We don't sit in groups. We're the family of God. Every time we come together, we're all the same. We all journey at different spots. We all come from different things, but God is the same God. And He desires to work in our lives. That's why we started Bountiful Blessing. That's why we're starting Celebrate Recovery. Why? Because we think we have all the answers? No. Because we're trusting Jesus to heal someone. We're trusting Jesus to make Himself known to someone. See, everyone is busy. I don't want to hear busy. I know what busy is. And yet I hear people, I'm so busy. Everyone is busy. The factor is this. What are you going to have priorities for? Because I look at it this way. The single mom working two jobs, she's busy too. The mother or the father that has a child that's out of control, they're busy too. And they need help. They need Jesus, and they might just need your help too. I've seen more in the last few years of people that have been called on Sunday to be on call. I've seen more in the last few years where it seems like every time something needs to be done at their work, they need to do it on Sunday. I've seen all kinds of distractions. But here's the thing. We have to make ourselves available to them. See, I can't stop, or I don't even want to stop, someone making a living that's trying to support their family. If you got to work on Sunday, work on Sunday. I work on Sunday. So I'm not against people that have to work on Sunday. All I'm saying is make yourself available other times then. Don't miss God. We're not able to compete with people that are making a living. We just have to offer ways to help them when and where they're at. I have some slides here. I want you to imagine something for a city. For a moment. I want you to imagine a city with a lot of people. Imagine if you looked at that demographics of that city, that 17% of its residents live in poverty, and that 47% of school-age kids get free or reduced lunches. Do you picture New York? Do you picture Los Angeles? Do you picture some other big city? How about Middletown, PA? How about looking at High Spire and Steelton's numbers? 24% are living in poverty, and 75% of the students are getting free or reduced lunches. That's 1 in 4 live in poverty. 1 in 4 families. That means 3/4 of the students in those two towns get free or reduced lunches. Now add Harrisburg. 33% of the people living in Harrisburg are in poverty, and 83% of the students get free or reduced lunches. Middletown, High Spire, Steelton, together, averaged together, 20% that live in poverty, 1 in 5. Over half get a free lunch. One more. Middletown, High Spire, Steelton, Harrisburg, all their numbers together, 30% live in poverty, and 74% have a free or reduced lunch. I think the statistic for Pennsylvania is that 73% of people get some kind of state help in some area of their life, whether it would be food stamps, rent assistance, medical, 73%. Kunkel, elementary school, which is right out our door. 81% of the kids there get a free or a reduced lunch. That elementary school, right within walking distance of our church, has just applied for Title I status, which means that if they get it, every single kid in that school will be eligible to get a free or a reduced lunch. That's our neighborhood. That is our neighborhood. That is where God has called us. Now you add to that a crime rate that just keeps climbing. You add to that a drug epidemic where it's so bad that all the ambulances now carry Narcan as an emergency overdose preventative for those that have overdosed. And you add family issues. You add road rage. You add all of these things that are going on in people's lives, jobs or lack of jobs. I've heard some of your stories. Some of you guys are working terrible jobs right now. But it's a job, and you sit there and you think, I need the money, so I have to do this. And then there's some that I hear the story, I need a job. I need a job. I'll take any job. You add all of this together, and there are some broken people. Let's make it real. Out there and in here. So is there any difference? We're broken people helping broken people. This is where God's placed us. This is why we're reaching out in a new way. We had to take a hard look at it. We had to look at what God, if you're asking us to reach out to this community, God, you have to show us what's going on in the community. God, we have to be sensitive to what's going on in the community. The mission field is more than sending money overseas to another country in other areas. We do that, and it's a good thing. But it's like I told the board, our lights are on because God called us here. These are the people that God called us to. These are the reasons that every day we turn on the lights. These are the reasons that every day we want to reach people for Christ. Our lights and our mission field is right out the door here. So as a board, we sat around a table for months, I believe it's 18 months, deciding what we needed to do. We looked at our mission statement. Now I want to tell you, there was nothing wrong with our mission statement. It lined up with every mainline Protestant church and had every catchy phrase that any other church would have. So we weren't doing anything that we weren't supposed to. But I'm telling you, it wasn't what God was calling us to. He said there was more. He said there was more we had to do. And we came up with this. This is our mission statement. You will see this on almost everything from now on. Now, we are going to make it a little shorter on letterhead and taglines and business cards and everything else. But this is our heartbeat. It says to demonstrate the revitalizing power of Christ's love by creating a radically inclusive community focused on breaking the cycles of poverty and marginalization in the Middletown area so that current and future generations are liberated to become devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. Now that's a mouthful. And if you talk to every single person when you're saying how what you believe in and you give them that, you're going to lose them. That's a mouthful. But that will be on the wall somewhere. That will be on important documents because it is how we feel. And like I said, there's going to be taglines. In the next several months, you're going to see the taglines, the fellowship hall, and different things are going to be changing. What are we saying? Let's break this down. We're saying we want to do more than tell people we love them. We love you. Go in Jesus. I know you're hungry, but go in Jesus. We want to show them that we love them. We want to see transformed lives. We want to remember what Christ did for us and what we're asking Christ to do for us, and we're asking to see that transformation in other people's lives. We're asking that change of addiction, change of poverty, change of all of the abuse and everything that goes on, we're asking God to change that, to break those chains and make a difference. And we're saying, in the days to come, this is why we exist. And when you look at and you say, when we're around the table deciding on what we're going to do, this is why we do Bountiful Blessings. Anybody ask you, hey, what? Why do you give away stuff to people in the community that you don't know? Right there. Because Jesus did it, and if He can do it, we can do it. Why did you start Celebrate Recovery? Don't you know that they might bring people that you don't really want? We want them here. And that's why we want them here. And there's no difference than them than us. We're all broken. They just got different breaks than I do. Do you get it? Did you get it? I mean, do you really grab on and understand that this is why we're going to exist? And this is why we're going to trust God. Transformation, liberation, engaging with people. Your pastor's broken. You're broken. You got baggage. I got baggage. So why not invite somebody with baggage in? Why not show them that you love them? And this is not going to be the action of a few. This has to be the heartbeat of the church. Do you hear me this morning? And that's why I'm preaching at you. And I probably ran some off because I'm so excited and loud this morning. But you got to understand this. This is who we are. And when somebody asks, this is who we are. This is why we do what we do. This church will not be a place that you just go. It will be a church that you have to belong to. That you are led to be a disciple of Christ. Now, I realize that this can't just be a place to get free stuff. And I realize that we don't have unlimited resources. We will do what we can do. And we will trust God. And we will help where we can help. And yes, it's going to be more than a place that they just get free stuff. Or a place that you get free stuff. Or a place that I get free stuff. It's going to be a lighthouse. People are going to come in, find God, and go out and help others find God. And you know what? The 150 chairs or whatever we bought will not hold them. Do you hear me? It won't hold them. If God's in it, we're going to have to knock a wall out. If God is in it, our budget is going to be doubled because God will honor and bring us the resources and the people. God has a lot to say about the poor. God has a lot to say about what a church should be. Don't even look at the clock. We're going to feed you, so give me extra 15 minutes, would you? You don't even have to go anywhere today. But do you understand this morning that this is so much bigger than us? Do you really understand this? And I'm asking God for it to be bigger than us. If we can do it, it ain't big enough. We need God to do this. And we need His help. We need His help with the cost. We need His help with the people that are needed. We need the wisdom of God to show us every step of the way. We need to break the stereotype of a church that thinks all that you're after is money. to make a difference. I have one text, three verses. Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. And I have 3 points real quick. Matthew 25, verse 37. Then the righteous, right there you know, he's not talking to those sinners, those people outside of the church. He's talking to the righteous. He's talking to believers. And he says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothing and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, and if you're looking in your Bible, it's red letter, it's Jesus' own words. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whenever you do for one of these, one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Do you understand what that's saying? He's saying, I don't know, whatever you got from me. Whatever I need you to give, hold your hand open. And he's saying, whatever you did for them, you did for me. Because they matter. People matter to me. I hate all of this stuff that's going on where they segregate all kinds of such and such matters. Such and such matters. And they'll take different nationalities. They'll take different organizations. They'll take anything and everything. It's become polluted. Just read your Bible. All lives matter. God cares about all of us. Whoever opposes the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. That's Proverbs 14:31. Like I said, Jesus has a lot to say about the poor. He has a lot to say how we treat the poor. He has much to say about playing favorites. He has much to say about who and how you offer the gospel. He has much to say about, you know, I've asked my neighbor, but they said no 10 years ago, so I've never asked him again. He has a lot to say about all of these things. Jesus did it in three ways. And I want you to take a moment from those three passages to see what he's done. Jesus went to the people. Do you understand me this morning? That Jesus went to the people. If we're going to be a church that intends to meet the needs of people, we need to go to the people. The day of holding the door open, waiting for someone to come in, doesn't happen that often. I don't know how many people I've talked to that said, I would come if somebody invited me. I see them go every Sunday. All the people of the churches, they all go every Sunday. But if someone would ask me, I'd have went. We can't just hold the door open and say, oh, Jesus, bring them in. He says, go to the highways and the byways and go get them. Make an impact. Make a difference. The history of the Church of the Nazarene. I'm a diehard Nazarene. History of the Nazarene is loving all people. Phineas Brzee, the founder of the Church of the Nazarene, said this, we are debtors to every man to give him the gospel in the same measure in which we have received it. What is he saying? You're a sinner and Christ came to you. Go reach somebody for Christ. He didn't give up on us. Aren't you glad? He didn't give up on us. He didn't put all this yoke on us and say, if you do this, this, and this, you can come into the church. That's why don't be surprised if people come in that don't look like you, don't smell like you, don't talk like you. Because my Bible says that all are welcome. Now, do we change our doctrine? No. But all are welcome. That's our mission. That's what God's entrusted to us. So Jesus went to the people. If we're going to be the church that Christ wants us to be, we need to go to the people. The second thing is Jesus saw the people. You know, there's a difference between seeing someone and seeing someone. We run in contact with hundreds of people a day. You're bumping into them. You're saying, excuse me. You're saying hi. You know, you're high-fiving somebody. You're acknowledging, head-butting, and all kinds of stuff all day long with different people. But I'm asking you this morning, who do you see? Do you see some of their hurts? Do you see, and are you open and sensitive that maybe all that person needs for that moment is someone to say, you know what? I can't change what you're going through, but can I sit here with you? Can I pray with you? And if you can meet a need, meet a need. But really see what's going on. It says our church, and this is Brzee talking, our church, and he's talking about all of the Nazarene churches. Our church is a mission church. It's no difference between home and foreign fields. And in these days, all fields are near. And I was going to read this paragraph, but I'll just get the bottom line of this. He goes on to say, and he uses a scripture. He says, the gospel comes to a multitude without money and without price. And the poorest of the poor are entitled to sit at the front seat of any Nazarene church. Do you understand what he's saying there? Broken people loving broken people. No difference. No van people. No this, no that. All the body of Christ. One of my favorite movies is Schindler's List. And Schindler's List, he goes and he saves 1,100 people from the gas chamber by negotiating, by all means to raise money, basically paying for the lives of different people. And as the movie's ending, he's leaving, and these 1,100 people are gathered around him. And they said, we just wanted to thank you. And when he saw all of that, you would think that he would be full of himself. 1,100 people because of me. But you know what he did? He broke down and he said, I could have done more. Do you know why he said that? Because he looked at his ring and he said, I could have sold this in two more. Two more people could have come and lived out of the gas chamber. And the very car that he was getting in, he said, I could have sold the car. And I could have reached 10 more. I'm not telling you to sell anything. I'm just telling you to be sensitive to what God wants and have the heartbeat of God that this community matters. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, and I'm saying that as a believer, we need to weep over our community. And the last one is Jesus had compassion on people. He went to them. He really saw them. And where he could make an impact, he made an impact. It was love in action. It was faith in action. It was not only seeing but doing. It was the Good Samaritan. We live in a society that says, you know what? You don't want to get involved? It's okay. Leave that for somebody else. But that's not Jesus. Jesus didn't tell us that. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say, just go on. Don't worry about them. I blessed you. Let them worry about themselves. He didn't say that. He said, go after them. And they may not like it, but still go after them. They may tell you no, but go after them. When the church becomes a place to belong, it makes an impact. I'm telling you, my job is real simple. My job is to train people to go out and do that. Ministry has purpose and people have purpose and the church has purpose. And I'll tell you, there's strength in numbers. We talk about numbers. Oh, don't worry about numbers. We're a healthy church. Well, I got news for you. Healthy church. Numbers means that we're doing something. So let's do something. So I'm closing. I probably stepped on a couple toes. You got to love me anyways. Man, pastor appreciation, and I'm getting on your case. So it still really shows you got to love me. So what's going to be different? We're going to be intentional. We're not going to fumble around. We're going to be intentional. We're going to be directed to people, and we're going to minister to them as God provides. We're going to do everything we can to show them the love of Christ. And how are we going to do that? Lots of prayer. Then pray again. And then pray again. Because it is bigger than we are. It's God has to intervene. Do you understand? Anybody on my board knows that you know, we do not have this money pit that's just full of money and we just open the door and get it out. It's God. This is a God thing. God has to do this. We're asking God to intervene. We absolutely need God to intervene. If God doesn't intervene, we're not going to be able to do it. And it will take the church to be mobilized the same as the early church was. It will take every single one of us. Did I miss anybody? Every single one of us to be sensitive and know what God wants us to do. Then what can we expect? We can expect God to do what he said he was going to do. Get ready. Our standing joke here is, hey, if we're saying it's going to rain, where's your umbrella? If you really believe that, prepare for it. So I'm telling you, what can we expect? We can expect the God to honor his word and do what he says, and he will bring people. We can also expect all walks of life, all kinds of different brokenness coming. And they're going to come to see if we are what we say we are. So be what we say we are. And allow God to do this. We can expect people that are not going to act like us to come through these doors. They won't have Christian lingo. It's one of the things that we say from the pulpit here. You know, we got to stop talking some of this Christian talk because some people don't understand it. You may not know the lingo. Well, the NMI meets over here and the PSC over here and the DUIs over here. And you get that, DUIs? I just wanted to see if you're listening. They don't understand all of that. Let's just be who God wants us to be. And my question is, God will do it. I promise you, he will do. If we're faithful, he will do it. I'll stand on his word. And my thought is, my closing thing is this: who's in? Who's in? Who is willing to trust God enough to do more than what we can do in ourselves? Who is in and willing? This may not look like it's been, but it'll be better. It'll be better. On your way out this morning, a couple people are going to hand you this card, and it's cardstock, and it has our mission statement on it. Here's what I want you to do with it. We purposely didn't put it in the bulletin because we know the bulletin ends up in the trash after about Tuesday. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it somewhere wherever you pray. And ask God for us to live this. And ask God to bring people that need Jesus. And while we're doing all of this and we're saying we're doing it for everybody else, ask God to disciple you like you've never been discipled before. wherever you're at. Now, if you're a new believer, we don't expect you to be a seasoned 30-year veteran of the faith. But 30-year veteran of the faith, let's get busy. We're all at different spots. Let's help each other. Let's be good to each other. Let's trust God to do some amazing things. Say amen to that. Father, I thank you for your goodness here. And Lord God, in a moment, the worship team's going to lead us in a song. And in a moment, Pastor Susan's going to come and close the service. Lord God, it is so much bigger than we are. It is so much bigger than we are that a part of me is scared. But the other side can't hardly stand it because I know what you can do. I'm asking, Lord God, that that fire and that flame be instilled in each and every one of our hearts. And Lord God, in the weeks and months to come, and Lord God, we will see you do amazing things. We especially lift up Thursday, our first Celebrate Recovery group. God, anoint and bless the leaders and teachers. And Lord God, may lives be transformed, changed by the power of God working in their lives. We're going to thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name, amen.